بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد. Please come closer, inshallah, those brothers who are participating. And sisters, come closer together as well. And then, inshallah, those that are leaving, please close the door and take the conversations outside. Jazakumullah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فما آمن لموسى إلا ذرية من قومه على خوف من فرعون وملئهم أن يفتنهم وإن فرعون لعال في الأرض وإنه لمن المسرفين. Please close the doors inshallah and take the conversations outside. Jazakumullah, jazakumullah khair. Allah Ta'ala mentions here in Surah Yunus, Ayah 83, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى. No one was believing in Musa alayhi salam. No one was believing in the message of Musa alayhi salam. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا except ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِ, a few youth from his nation. And these few youth who were believing, they were also ala khawfin min Fir'aun. They were afraid of Fir'aun wa mala'ihim and their own chiefs, an yaftinahum, that they may persecute them. So they are Fir'auns of the past and they are Fir'auns of today. And the Quran is timeless. Al-i'tibar li'umum illadh la'li khusus al-sabab. We have to take the usul that are presented in the Quran and apply them to every given circumstance. Nobody was believing except for some young men, and they were also afraid of Fir'aun and their chieftains, mala'ihim, that they may be persecuted. وَإِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ لَعَالٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And certainly, certainly Fir'aun, لَعَالٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ, was a tyrant in the land. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. And truly, he was a transgressor. إِسْرَاف, مُسْرِفُون, mean those who pass the limits, cross the limits, transgress. The ayat selected tonight, they give us a few lessons. One of them is that small numbers of believers under tyrannical rulers and oppressive governments, this is not something new, this has been happening from the beginning. What is the true test of tawakkul? What is the adab of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The importance of preserving salah even under oppression. There are many ayat, you'll see how far we go. But further beyond that, we may go up to this point. But if we continue after that, there is a whole discussion about Musa alayhi salam, eventually when he is raising up his hands and making dua against Fir'aun and his people. There are objections that why was he cursing them? Then what are the answers to those objections? Then there is a comparison with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he did not take that opportunity in Taif or in Fatah Makkah, but he did in the tragedy of Bir Mauna. And at the end, there is a discussion about Fir'aun as he is drowning, accepting Islam. And why that Islam that he accepted is not valid. There are no two opinions about Fir'aun. Everyone agrees that he will be in the Jahannam, even though he accepted Islam. In Surah Yunus, his kalimat of accepting Islam are mentioned. فَلَمَّا أَدَرَكَهُ الْغَارَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said the kalima and he said, I am truly a Muslim. But this is when he was drowning and he saw the unseen world. The unseen became seen. So the iman was mushahad, on mushahad, not on ghayb. And then after that, the lesson about Fir'aun's body being preserved. The question may come, where is the dua? So there is a very powerful dua in the middle. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So this is a dua that Musa alayhi salam was taught. This is the response of the when they were the minority under oppression. And the tyranny and the oppression of that time, it was so great that even though Today it is also very bad throughout the world, Muslim world. It is still not as bad as it was then. Not to take away any of the pain, the genuine pain that Muslims are suffering, but this tyranny, this oppression was at an other level altogether. So we start off word by word. At first, the format is we go over the translation, then we go back over the ayah word by word. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى. Almost none believed in Musa alayhi salam. This single word, it indicates the disappointment that these individuals did not accept Islam, and it's also the realism, the reality. This is despite the fact that signs had been shown, like a lot of signs. Many of us may be aware of the famous passage which we covered also in these sessions in the past in Surah Taha, when you were doing the Rabbi Shrahli Sadri dua, about the staff turning into a serpent and the hand becoming bright. But that is just two signs amongst many, many other signs. فَرَسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمْبَلَ وَالضَّفَادِعَ وَالدَّمَ آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala sent upon them flooding and jarad, locusts. Like everywhere there's these big grasshoppers called locusts, jarad, in their food, in their clothing, in their vessels. Every single time they make tawbah. They make tawbah and say, we believe in you, Musa alayhi salam, ask Allah to remove the adab. And as soon as the adab is removed, the sign is removed, then they revert back. وَالْقُمَّلْ. Lice. Everybody is overcome with lice. It's falling over their faces, over their eyebrows, over their clothes. Qumman. Random things. What dafadir is literally means frogs. Difda, dafadir, frogs. Frogs jumping everywhere. What dama, blood. Meaning, if you're drinking something, it's water, you pump it out of the well, and you don't want to drink it, it becomes blood. Then you give it to the Bani Israel, individual who is your slave, it becomes water. You tell him, you pump the water and give it to me, it's water in his hands. As soon as he gives it to the Qibti from the family of Pharaoh, it turns into blood. This will explain why Musa alayhi salam eventually cursed these people. So many signs, the mass conversion did not take place. فَمَا أَمَّنَ لِمُوسَى. This is also telling us the system of Allah Ta'ala, that many times the truth always begins with very few individuals. Same thing happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Very few individuals accepted Islam in the beginning. Amana li Musa. The scholars talk about the word lam, the letter lam here. It wasn't just amana bi Musa, they believed in Musa. Amana li Musa, meaning they believed and they submitted for Musa alayhi salam. They yielded themselves to his call. Typically, the preposition that comes with the word amana is amantu billahi wa malaikatihi, isn't it? It's not amantu lillahi wa malaikatihi in the iman mujmal or iman mufassal. Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Amana bi means the letter ba comes with it, and it was changed up here by Allah Ta'ala, amana li Musa, meaning very few people completely responded to his prophetic authority, submitted themselves to him, entrusting themselves to what he brought. This is called to make tasdeeq and believe from the bottom of one's heart that he is al-mukhbir al-sadiq. He is a truthful narrator. He's speaking on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just that they agreed with his message, they swore allegiance to him. It's not just to be in agreement, but to swear allegiance. Illa dhurriya, except for some progeny. Dhurriya actually means children, progeny. And this was a big question the Mufassirun took up, that which children, whose children? We translated it as few youth. But dhurriya actually means children. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati, we covered this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. O Allah, make me among those who establish salah and my dhurriya, my progeny. We also covered the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he's establishing Makkah. Rabbana wa ba'ath fihim rasulam minhum. Or when he makes dua for his dhurriya. Rabbana wa ja'alna muslimayni laka wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan laka. O Allah, make my dhurriya, my progeny, a Muslim ummah. So if you keep on reviewing these words, emphasizing the words night by overnight, so by the end of it, hopefully we begin to remember the meanings of the words, rather than just having the translation separate from the words. And we recite these du'as with understanding, with ma'rifah, insha'Allah. So different meanings of the word dhuriyah. Some said, okay, this could be just a small remnant, or a young body, a group of young individuals. Maybe it's also referring to a weak group, a vulnerable group. Some took the word dhuriyah and stretched it so far as to say those who are spiritually born to truth. Meaning, when they were born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them a very pure disposition, and they remained on that. That's why they're called dhuriyah. And after that, the discussion is min qawmihi, from his qawm. So from whose qawm? So there's a pronoun here, qawmihi, his qawm. The question is it from the qawm of Musa, or is it referring to the qawm of Fir'aun? Whose qawm? Except a few youth, min qawmihi, of his people. Some people say that, subhanAllah, this is even from Musa alayhis-salam's people. Small believing segment from Musa alayhis-salam's own people. His own people also, they were so overcome with the fear of Fir'aun and the tyranny, oppression of Fir'aun and certain death they would face, that it was from the Qawm of Musa also very few people accepted Islam. And others say that no, this min qawmihi is referring to that very few people from Fir'aun's qawm. Because Musa alayhi salam, can you tell those kids in the back? Tell them to leave or be quiet. So Musa alayhi salam was the leader of the Banu Israel. Yes, the Banu Israel gave him a lot of trouble. They kept on making his life difficult, giving a lot of trouble. But at the end of the day, they were amongst the believers. Musa alayhi salam was, his main da'wah was to Fir'aun and his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gave him the mission, what was the words? اِذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. Go to Fir'aun, you Musa and Harun. Because he has become very arrogant, crossed all the limits of transgression. فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَىٰ. Speak to him softly, kindly, he may perchance take admonition, he may fear Allah. And tell him, أَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Send the Bani Israel with us. So Musa alayhi salam was primarily sent to Fir'aun. And Allah Ta'ala is saying here, Fir'aun and his qawm, the Qibtis, Allah Ta'ala is saying very few of them accepted Islam. Who are some of them? One of them is the very famous رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'min. In Surah Al-Mu'min, is also known as Surah Al-Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a member of the royal family of Fir'aun who accepted Islam. And when Musa alayhi salam, in his youth, before receiving prophethood, years before, when he ended up punching a Qibti on behalf of an Israeli, and that Qibti, that Egyptian, died. So he came running to Musa alayhi salam. وَجَاءَ رَجْلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسَعَى قَالَ إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ فَخُرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I am a member of the royal family. I was part of a private meeting where we decided to kill you. Fir'aun said that even though I'm raising this child up till now, he's a young man, but he is perhaps the one that I'm afraid of. Let's kill him because he showed his true colors today. He told Musa alayhi salam, escape from here. So he was not a Muslim yet, for the very simple reason that Musa alayhi salam was not a prophet yet, but he already had that good nature. And when Musa alayhi salam left, he stayed in Madian for 8 to 10 years with Shuaib alayhi salam. He got married, he came back, then he was a prophet. He accepted Islam. And he gave a very beautiful speech in the court of Fir'aun that is worth studying, and that is in Surah Al-Mu'min. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنِ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ. The believing man from the family of Fir'aun who had been hiding his iman, he finally exposes himself and he gives that final invitation. Then, of course, the most notable woman from min qawmihi, from the qawm of Fir'aun that accepted Islam, was none other than Asiya alayhi salam. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. So I'm holding on to that one in my list of the du'as. There's a du'a of Asi alayhi salam, we will do, inshaAllah, 1-9. Rabbi ibn li indaka baytan fil jannah. There were some other individuals that were associated with the palace, they accepted Islam. Ala khawfin, they had fear. Real terror. It was not just a passing anxiety, it was a complete climate of terror. This is the person who had no fear in slaughtering a whole generation of innocent children. In this day and age, when there's hardly any sanctity of life, if there is something that is universally accepted, it is children being innocent. They were afraid, أَن يَفْتِنَهُمْ يَفْتِنَهُمْ, that they will get tortured, persecuted, or coerced and forced and compelled to become murtad and leave the deen. So this was their fear. And Fir'aun was alin fil ard, was persecuting people, and he was truly a transgressor. There is more detail, but we'll go on, inshallah. One thing I do want to mention is that for this dhulm and oppression to be effective in the past as well as in today, it cannot be just one tyrant, one corrupted individual. The scholars mention under the word وَمَلَئِهِمْ, that he had a whole band of chieftains who were on the same page with him and were fulfilling his orders. So if there's a tyrant, he's sitting in his palace and he's giving orders that go and burn down all of these innocent villagers, burn down their villages, round them up and slaughter them, and commit atrocities and shove their bodies in mass graves. There's only so much the individual can do himself. He has to have generals who have no scruples, who have no conscience. He has to have soldiers also who go ahead and fulfill their orders. So you need a whole group. You need collaborators. You need people who are brainwashing the public. You need people who are financing it. You need advisors. You need enforcers. So this is how falsehood works. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Then the next ayah we see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى, Musa alayhi salam said, يَا قَوْمِي, O my people, إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ, if you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this is the ba, which is a normal one, آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ, فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا, so in him only you should place your trust, إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ, if you are true submissive slaves of Allah, if you make Islam, submit to Allah, if you're Muslim. So over here we see Musa alayhi salam, he said, Ya Qawmi, O my people. All of the prophets, they addressed their nations that they were sent to with these beautiful words of endearment and closeness and love and affection. They were not at some, in lofty palaces in the sky, addressing the people on their ivory thrones, O you masses, O you subjects. Rather, they were amongst the people. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا, to the nation of Aad, we send their brother Hud. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا, to the nation of Thamud, we send their brother Salih. Every Nabi came minhum, from amongst them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also when he addressing the Quraysh, he used to say, قَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمَرًا مِّن قَبْلِي أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ, I lived my life amongst you. Do you not recognize me? Do you not know me? I'm one of you, O my people. So there's a compassion in his address. He's not speaking like some detached commander. And he is trying to gather the fearful hearts of his people. He says, look, in kuntum amantum, do you truly believe in Allah or not? This is now a test of your sincerity. And the test is not happening in a comfort zone, but is happening in an arena of fear, of terror. If your iman is true, then what should we see? فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا, then you should be able to rely on Allah. The taqdeem ahaqqu ta'khir, this alayhi coming before the word tawakkul means only upon Allah you rely. In Yufid al-Hasar, it gives the meaning of exclusivity. فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا, rely only upon him. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ, if you are true Muslims. So the order here is that Allah Ta'ala mentions iman first, then tawakkul, and then the true Islam. What is the order? First, you have to have iman. Then this will result in tawakkul, in trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this will be a proof that a person is a true Muslim. This will be a proof of his true Islam. Now, when he asked them to rely on Allah, the dua that we're looking forward to and we are studying, and the theme, of course, for every night we have new guests, that's why I keep on reminding. For those who are regulars, you'll say, why do you repeat yourself? Is that this year, every night we are doing different du'as, du'as from the Quran. He is talking to the terrorized people that in your hearts, there is an inner idol of Fir'aun. That's one of the reasons that after he drowned, it was hard for the Bani Israel to actually believe. Right? They were in the first stage, they were in denial. How in the world could he actually die? Did he actually die? Because for so long, he was a constant terror for their nation, for their qawm, killing their babies, using their daughters as for fulfilling their shahawat, and they could not fathom it, that he has actually died. That is why, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the water throw out his body. So they could go and look at it and see it, فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ type of scenario where you go and feel it and say, wow, this is Fir'aun. He really died. So this inner idol of Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Musa al-Islam is telling his people, you have to break that idol. You have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not mean that you abandon strategy. It means you do make your plans, you do make an effort, but you don't worship it. You know, the famous statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِعْقَلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You do adopt the means, you do tie your camel, but then you don't trust in tying, you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam is not just saying, sit back and be passive, but he's saying, do make your plans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, فَعَفُوا عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Take mashura from your sahaba, make your plans, make your strategy, and then what happens is, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ, when you make your plans, finally, don't trust in your plans, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the qawm, when they heard this call from their Nabi, they responded with the dua. What did they say? Subhanallah. فَقَالُوا, they responded immediately, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, it is on Allah alone that we have placed our trust. So this is the dua that we have to memorize. This is the dua that we have to remember the meanings. You would stop, you would take out the word فَقَالُوا, they said. You would start from عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. رَبَّنَا, our Rabb, our Lord, لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, do not make us a victim of the unjust people. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. نَجِّنَا, grant us najat, deliver us by your mercy, مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, from the disbelieving people. So this is such a beautiful dua. It is considered by the ulama as one of the most effective du'as at the time of crisis. If there's a crisis in the ummah. When they responded, فَقَالُوا, there was no delay on their part to the call in the previous slide, in the previous ayah. They did not begin to negotiate with Musa al-Islam, what about this, what about that. They did not say, we need more evidence and more proofs. They immediately responded. They said, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Again, as we mentioned before many times, tawakkalna ala Allah means rely on Allah and potentially rely on someone else. But ala Allah, when you bring ala Allah before the word tawakkalna, it means only upon Allah you rely. And then, la taj'alna, O Allah, Rabbana, O our Lord, the one who nurtures us, provides for us, takes care of us, even in the test that we are going through, in the worst scenarios, this is a madhar, a manifestation of your rububiyah. You are training us. You are nurturing for us. You are making us better individuals. That's why they're saying, Rabbana. You are repairing us. You are the Lord of tarbiyah. La taj'alna, do not make us fitnatan. What's fitna? This was something that also was eye-opening for me. All of the interesting meanings for the word fitna here. Fitna, fatana, fitna, fa, ta, nun, the original letters, root letters, this is used for the ma'na al-lughawi, the literal meaning is when you take a metal and you put it into the fire to test how pure it is and to separate the alloys from the actual valuable metal, the gold, the silver. So when the gold and silver is found naturally in the earth, it is mixed with sometimes other metals. So you have to heat it up, and thereafter, the goldsmith, silversmith, they remove the impurities, and then you have the pure gold one side. وَاتِّبْرُوا كَالتُّرْبِ مُلْقًا فِي أَمَاكِنِهِ وَالْعُودُ فِي أَرْضِهِ نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْحَطَبِ فَإِنْ تَغَرَّبَ هَذَا عَزَّ مَطْلَبُهُ وَإِنْ تَغَرَّبَ ذَاكَ عَزَّ ذَهَبِ. We covered that long poem of Imam Muhammad ibn Idris Shafi'i a few nights ago. It's a long مَا فِي الْمَقَامِ لِذِي عَقْلٍ وَذِي أَدَبِي مِنْ رَاحَدٍ فَدَعِي الْأَوْطَانَ وَاغْتَرِبِي إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ وَقُوفَ الْمَاءِ يُفْسِدُهُ إِنْ صَاحَ طَابَ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَجْرِ لَمْ يَطِيبِ, etc. So at the end he mentions that gold and silver كَالتُّرْبِ is like dirt مُلْقًا فِي أَمَاكِنِي in its original place. You're just walking over it, has no value. وَالْعُودُ فِي أَرْضِهِ نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْحَطَبِ. Oud in its original location in the Cambodian jungle, for example, is just like firewood. Somebody may just cut up the trees, not realize there's some oud in there that's so valuable, and burn it. Maybe when he's cooking his meal, then he'll realize, wow, there's an amazing fragrance. Hatab is specifically for firewood, whereas khashab is any wood. And hatab is firewood. Nu'um min al-hatabi. But when you take it from its original place, and it undergoes the process of refinement and purification and removal of all the impurities, عَزَّ مَطْلُبُهُ عَزَّ كَالذَّهَبِ, it becomes like gold. It becomes valuable when it is sold in the marketplace by the haram. You go out, عَبْدُ الصَّمَدَ الْقُرَشِ لِلْعُودِ وَالْعَمْبَرِ وَالْعُطُورِ, four ethers, four perfumes. That's how they translate it. Anyway, so you see that, you'll see the oud, it's so expensive. So fitna means a test. There's a side note here where many times feminists and other who don't have the correct understanding, they will say that we take the word fitna in our common usage, whether it's Urdu or even in English, as something very bad, something negative, something evil. So there is this narrative from the feminist side that why in the world you men or scholars, men who are scholars, you are misogynistic, you're anti-woman, that you say women are a fitna. Fitna being something very negative has a negative connotation, and women are a fitna. So you think we are inherently evil? That's something from the Christian theology, where they believe Eve was evil and women are evil, and until a few centuries ago they were debating in the Christian theology and theologians whether women have a soul or not. Are they actually human? Na'udhu billahi min zalik. So we have nothing like that. Fitna is a test. So test meaning the love of women in the hearts of men is a test for men. To please a woman, will you end up displeasing Allah or not? And then going back to what we mentioned a few moments ago about even in this bygone era, if there is anyone who is considered to be an innocent person that deserves love and affection and not to be blamed for any crime, that would be what? Children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same word of fitna for children. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. Verily your wealth and verily your children, they are a fitna. Meaning the love you have to acquire wealth, let it come in halal or haram. I want more wealth. This is a test for you. You have a lot of customers in your shop and the adhan for Jummah is going. فَسَعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذُرُوا الْبَيْعِ. Hasten to the call of Allah and leave buying and selling. It's a test. Your children, you love them so much, they say, Baba, I want this, Baba, I want that. For that you have to earn haram and halal. You have to buy things that they are, you know, is haram. You take them to haram places. You do things that you know are impermissible to please them. So this is a test. So it's not only Dajjal is a fitna. So So women, they'll say that you said women are a fitna, you put us in the same line with Dajjal. You put us in the same line with beautiful children too. So any such condition where it becomes difficult to fulfill the order of Allah, where it becomes difficult to fulfill the order of Allah, that's a fitna. If someone says that Miami Beach is a fitna or Las Vegas is a fitna, so a person is there for a business trip, he's away from his family, the environment is of sin city. So it becomes more difficult for the person to avoid haram. That's why it's a fitna. And the love of women is a fitna for men. So keeping that meaning in the back of our mind, the fitna is a test, just like you test if it's the gold is pure or not. Now Allah is testing if the iman is pure or not. So do not make us a fitna for the zalimeen. When the translators do not have time to go into the detailed explanation, they give an easier word to cover it for now and move forward. So that's why in English it's translated as do not make us a victim of the unjust people. But fitna actually doesn't mean victim. Fitna is a test. So what kind of test? So many interesting and beautiful and all on point meanings of how this could be a test. Number one, do not make us a test for the zalimeen such that the oppressors, they're brutalizing us, they're torturing us, and they end up failing this test and they continue to increase in sin. So what does that mean? You're actually making dua to save the zalimeen from a trial that they will fail in, that they will beat us, they will oppress us, and who will get the sins for that? They will get sins. They will continue to increase in their sins. The scale of, on the scales of justice, their sins will be increasing. So do not make us a source of fitna for them. Another meaning of how it could be a fitna is that do not allow them to overpower us thoroughly and completely destroy us, that we end up becoming a test for them in such a manner that they reach this wrong conclusion that, look, if these people were on truth, if they actually had Allah on their side, their Allah would have saved them. The fact that we overpowered them is a proof that they don't have an Allah, their religion is false. So they become more hardcore in their disbelief. This is another fitna. You see how this is different from the first one? The first one was saying that they're oppressing us, doing more zulm, torturing us, and they end up having more sins. This is how we become a fitna for them. Second one is saying that they end up completely destroying us, and then they believe that this is an evidence that they are in truth and our religion is false. So our humiliation becomes a proof that we are on, na'udhu billah, falsehood. Third meaning is that do not make us a source of fitna that the weak believers from amongst us, when they see the people of truth are under the crushing power, they begin to ask, Aina Nasrullah, where is the help of Allah? Where is the divine support? Do not make us a source of fitna. Another meaning is that do not make us the object of propaganda, the object of mockery, which is happening, right? All of these things are happening as we speak around us. Mockery, propaganda. The level of the kibr that is coming out of the mouths of the oppressors is astonishing. I'm talking about now. That's taking place. Do not make us a spectacle for the oppressors, that they're having this enjoyment and laughing at us. So this dua, with this understanding now, is at a completely different level in being selfless. So they're not starting off by saying, destroy them. Rather, they're saying, O Allah, do not allow us to become a vehicle for our oppressors' further corruption. And, but of course, the way that dua will be accepted is that we end up getting relieved of the oppression we are facing. But the motivating factor is, do not allow us to become a vehicle that they become further corrupted. This is a very high level of adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of humility and humbleness in front of Allah ta'ala. This is a very stunning point. So they're not only asking relief and protection from the pain, but O Allah, do not allow our pain to become an evidence for falsehood. Do not allow the pain we are suffering to become an evidence for falsehood. This applies now too. Many if Muslim nations are destroyed, Masjid al-Aqsa is closed in Ramadan, Salat al-Jum'ah is banned, whereas because of the war, you cannot have religious festivals. On the other hand, Purim festival is in full blast and the parade is going on for the Yehudi festival. But the Jumu'ah in Ramadan is closed. So let this not become an evidence for others that, wow, where is their God? Where is their Allah? Do not allow Islam to appear humiliated. So Muslims are being bombed, occupied, displaced, starved, surveilled, silenced, made into a spectacle. This dua cannot be more relevant than right now. Because the enemies of Islam, when they see the devastation on the Muslim world, they wrongfully believe this to be an evidence of the theological superiority. We have the correct deen. Or in this day and age, they don't have any deen. So it becomes a proof that there is no deen, and these people following the deen are completely on the wrong path. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then, the second part, وَنَجِّنَا, O Allah, grant us najat, rescue us, snatch us out, extract us. And not because, you know, we're not just asking for mere survival. Najat is not just to escape, but it is to be elevated through the trial. So you grant us high ranks in Jannah. And we are asking you that grant us najat because of our iman, bi imanina, because of our sabr, because of our taqwa, because we have been so righteous and obedient to you. No. We have no good deed to our credit that we can call upon to say, oh Allah, because of this good deed, najjina, grant us najat. Rather, we are calling to Allah Ta'ala. We don't have our heroism, we don't have any merit, we don't have any physical numbers, we have no worldly means or spiritual means to call upon as a tawassul, as a wasila, to say, oh Allah, this is what we have done. Like the three people in the cave, in the famous story. They presented the good deed and said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amantuqullah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. This is a good deed, I did it only to please you. Whether it was leaving the woman he loved when she came in need, or whether it was paying the labor after so many years when his wages had increased, or taking care of the parents with the milk all night standing there. We have nothing to present. So we say, Najjina, O Allah, grant us najat. What do we hold on to? Bi rahmatika. From your mercy, O Allah. Only from your mercy. We beseech you by taking the tawassul of your mercy. Minal qawmil kafirin. From the hostile qawm. From the disbelievers, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to recite this dua with conviction, to memorize this dua, to make this dua at the time of suhoor, to make this dua. This is the month of dua. What do we do in tahajjud? Tahajjud is time of dua. Then time of suhoor is time of dua. Then after that, when the adhan is fajr is called, we pray a sunnah. But between adhan and iqamah is the time for dua. Dua is accepted. Then right after the fard salah, the dua is accepted. Then qabla tulu'i shams, before the rising of the sun, the dua is accepted. Thereafter, throughout the day, yes, there is some time for rest and working. But when you go back to work, fadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. Remember Allah abundantly at work. So after every salah, at the time of iftar when you make dua, and again before we sleep when we make dua, we say, ala Allahi tawakkalna. ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجينا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين. Thought came to me that all of these nights we are talking about dua, but we are not necessarily reciting the dua together. And it's visible on the screen for you too. So sometimes it may be hard to follow if it's just, you know, you don't have a visual aid. So as we conclude the session tonight, let us read it together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. على الله توكلنا. على الله توكلنا ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجينا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين. We make this dua from the bottom of our hearts, and we hope Allah, we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve us as He did the qawm of Banu Israel. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.